Anyway, if you have a pet, you'll be interested in this next item, because I read an article recently which said that chemicals used for the treatment of pet fleas and ticks are known to be killing the chicks of songbirds. That's according to a new study. The scientists from the University of Sussex are calling on their government to urgently reassess the environmental risk of pesticides used in flea and tick treatments and consider restricting their use. Canel Tassin de Montague is the lead author of the research paper, and she joins us now on the line from France. Hello, Canel. Tell us what you found in this research.
So we recently found that the fur birds use to build their nest with, the inner lining fur, contain chemicals used in pet flea treatment. Potentially is from dogs, cats, but also sheep, cattle, and also wildlife like deer, foxes.
And how much of a problem is it?
So it could be quite a big problem. So people actually put fur outside, dog owners, cats owners, for the birds to use as nesting material. But those dogs and those cats are treated for flea treatment. And those are insecticides that some are banned from agricultural use in the UK and in the EU. For instance, fipronil and imidacloprid, because they represent a danger to wildlife in general. But they're used on pets as often as monthly. We found that there was some higher offspring mortality in nests that had a higher insecticide concentration. But that's another question, sorry. So it was a Dutch study that looked at dead chicks in nests, and they found insecticides that are not supposed to be there because they've been banned from agricultural use since 2013 and 2018. And one of the hypotheses was that it came from the fur, and most likely from pet fur. So this started it. We collaborated with the British Trust for Ornithology and the volunteers at the Nesting Neighbour Scheme. And they're the one that send us nests from their nest boxes in their garden from blue and grey tits. And then we just did the residue analysis on them.
Canel, it's Niall here. I know that, as you're saying there, a lot of people now, when they groom their pets, they deliberately put out the dog fur and the cat fur. I've even heard of rabbit fur being put out for the birds so they can build a nest. And people think that they're doing a good thing. If they are doing that, should people stop? Especially if they, obviously their pets have been treated with these pesticides.
I wouldn't say, like, pet owners who enjoy helping birds can still leave the pet fur outside, but obviously on untreated pets. The prophylactic use of flea treatment is not necessary, especially during winter months when flea and ticks are less active. Even the British Veterinary Association recommends that vets should avoid blanket year-round flea and tick treatment policies, and that maybe it's more with the individual cat or dog, their behaviour, the lifestyle of the owner, etc. For pet owners who still wants to put fur out, obviously untreated pet fur, and maybe if they don't treat their pet during winter, they can keep the brushed fur for the following spring.
On reading your paper, I saw that as part of this research, it was 103 nests of blue tits and grey tits that were analysed, and every single one of them, 100%, showed traces of these chemicals. It's obviously a very widespread problem.
Yes, so we found no nest that was free from insecticide, and this could be bigger than we expect and what our study shows. There are around 22 million cats and dogs in the UK alone, and over 80% of them are being treated regularly. In addition, we volunteers collected the nests months after the breeding season, so in September, November, when it's safe to do so and legal to do so. So the concentration we found in nests are likely lower than what was actually present in the nest back in spring of that year.
There are many species of wild bird in Britain and here in Ireland and across Europe that use animal fur to line and make their nests. Some of those, including those blue tits and grey tits, they're cavity nesters. So they're inside a nest box or perhaps a hole in a wall or in a tree. It's an enclosed space. Other birds like the finches, for example, chaffinches, greenfinches, goldfinches, they may do the same, but their nests are open and exposed to the open air. Do you think that the fact that these nests were inside nest boxes in an enclosed space maybe led to a concentration of fumes perhaps in these chemicals, or did it maybe exacerbate the problem?
That's a possibility. I cannot say if it's the case or not. Obviously, if the fur is in the elements, the rain, wind, etc., the concentration is likely to decrease, but I can't really tell.
These kind of chemicals that are being used, you said that many of them have been banned for use in agriculture and in other uses, but they are still allowed to be used in domestic settings. I know that some of these chemicals can contaminate people's hands for many days or even weeks after the animals have been treated. These chemicals are really toxic. I know that people obviously want to help their cats and dogs and want to make sure they don't get fleas and ticks, but are we overdosing our pets?
We are overdosing our pets. So the prophylactic use of flea treatment is not something that is necessary. If your dog doesn't have fleas, why would you treat it? Obviously, it's always a case by case if your dog has an allergic reaction, etc. But someone said on Twitter recently, following our study going public, that you wouldn't treat your kid for lice every single month, but we still do it for fleas on our pets. And I think that's kind of a great way of putting it.
And with these chemicals as well, when let's say your dog goes and takes a jump into the pond or goes for a swim, those chemicals can leach into the water as well and also affects aquatic life, not just birds.
Yes. So there's been recent studies and in the last couple of years that looked at how much fipronil or imidacloprid, so those compounds, are being washed away from the dog bedding, the dog being bathed, the swimming, or even people just stroking the dogs and then washing their hands. And they found quite high level of, like, explain that the surface water concentration that they found, about 40% would come from just dogs being washed and hands being washed, etc.
Now, I know that as part of the study, you're studying the instance of mortality among the chicks. So I know that more dead chicks or higher instance was found in nests where there was a higher level of contamination with insecticide. But interestingly, you also found a higher proportion of unhatched eggs. Now, I know that from a documentary we did a while ago on the programme about birds' eggs, that eggs are breathable. There's respiration going on there. They're full of pores. Do we know, were the embryos inside these eggs being poisoned by these chemicals, or were they infertile to begin with? Did it affect the parents when they're actually producing the eggs?
So we don't really know about this, because what we found in terms of, like, higher number of dead offspring in nests with a higher concentration is a correlation, which doesn't necessarily mean a causation. And the offspring mortality could be due to predation, general fitness of the individual, and infertility of the female, for instance. But we know that there's some negative effects on birds after ingestion of those chemicals. But we don't know anything about the potential dermal toxicity of these insecticides. And this is one thing that we hope to look at later, like if it actually went through the egg, went through the cheek, etc.
Canel, we have been here before, or rather I have been here before, because I'm old enough to remember the 50s and 60s. When the peregrines died in enormous numbers due to organochlorine pesticides. But we managed to solve that one, so let's hope we will do as well with this one.
You've got to explain that now, Richard.
Well, I'd better explain that. Yeah, well, the organochlorine pesticides led to a thinning of the eggshells in the birds of prey. And when the female sat on those eggs to hatch them, the eggs broke under her. And that, I understand, was the mechanism. The result was they couldn't breed successfully, and their numbers fell drastically down to, oh, I suppose, a dozen to 20 pairs in the whole of Ireland. Now, in this case, this new case, something similar is going on. First of all, are there alternatives which don't harm the local birds? What are they? Could we deploy them rather than the stuff we're using now?
So I know exactly what you're talking about, the infamous DDT. And in terms of alternatives for pet owners, it is a little difficult to say, because, for instance, oral or tablet treatment could be an option, and they may have lower environmental impact. But again, there's no research on this. It's fairly new and people are starting to look into this. So it is a little bit hard to give an alternative other than, if your pet doesn't have fleas, don't treat it.
Another possibility, Canel, from the bird side of the house is, when we're at the hairdressers to ask them to assemble all the hair from the floor into a plastic bag and take it home and put it in the garden. So when the birds need fur, they pick up human fur, human hair, and not animal hair, not dog and cat hair. Would this work?
So I've read, I don't remember where, but hair is not a good alternative, especially if you have long hair. There's been cases of chicks being strangled by long hair. Similar, I've seen people mentioning using the laundry fluff that stays after you dry your clothes. And this is also a bad idea because then it contains lots of microplastics. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't recommend this.
I have a beard. Would that do? Beards are short. I mean, when I trim the old beard every so often, it's short stuff, perfect for a nest for a bird, you know. Would that be all right?
I cannot say. I guess it could. Then for in terms of insulation, I don't know if beard is the best kind of fur.
I know that when it comes to human hair, I know that all sorts of drugs and medications that people use can be deposited in those hairs. They've been used for drug testing, for example, from hair samples. So who knows what could end up getting into birds' nests in that case. But I do know that human hair, particularly long human hair, that's one of the main reasons why we see pigeons on the street with missing toes. It's actually getting wrapped up in human hair and cutting off the circulation that causes that very often.
Canel, is there an urban-rural dimension to this? The suburban cats and dogs are pampered and they're getting these things squirted into their fur every so often to kill the fleas. But the country ones are far fewer on the ground. A lot of them are feral. This should be a city problem or a suburban problem and not a countrywide problem. Is there any evidence of that?
So in our study, we found that the number of dead offspring in comparison to the insecticide concentration found in nests, the relationship was higher in urban nest boxes and urban gardens compared to rural gardens. Now it probably depends on what insecticides we look at. Fipronil, imidacloprid are very much used on pets. But compounds like permethrin, ivermectin are mostly used on sheep, cattle. So we could expect to see them more in rural areas.
I think that's the first time I've heard ivermectin mentioned in an appropriate context. But at any rate, I know nothing about this. Thank you very much indeed, Canel.
Thank you.
Niall, I'm just wondering why birds don't use the downy feathers from their belly. Eiderduck, dude, it's a very expensive commodity, I know. But why don't all birds use the downy feathers from their body? Why do they bring in any foreign material at all?
Well, some other birds do it, but it is quite rare. It's because evolution hasn't produced that in most birds. It worked out well for the eiders, this group of ducks. There are four species of eider in the world. They all do the same thing. The females pluck this wonderfully insulating down, best in natural insulating material that we know of, from their own chests, and they line the nests with this, and it's wonderful stuff. That's because they nest in very exposed places in very cold parts of the world, and evolution, it just so happened that maybe one female originally, she had some feathers, she did this, and this was selected for over millions of years of evolution, and that happened. It hasn't happened in many other species, although we do see lots of birds going around collecting random feathers that they find. You regularly find them in the springtime. They go around picking up feathers they find around the garden and using them for their nests, because feathers are incredible. Very good at insulating, very lightweight, but very, very strong, waterproof, all of these things. But it just hasn't evolved in other species. It's like asking a human being why they don't just flap their arms and fly into the sky. It's because evolution.
Well, why don't you?
Well, I've tried, I must admit, but it hasn't worked yet.
Anyway, let's